May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 527. What a divine harmonious sound the gospel trumpet gives. No music can with it compare. The soul that knows it lives. Hymn 527.
Thank you.
reading from God's holy word is Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labour. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass, and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression, and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro, and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He may give the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields and plant vineyards which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again, they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his holy word and help his servant to pray.
Most kind and merciful Lord God, we do need thee now to draw near, as thou didst to those that journeyed to Emmaus. For it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. Oh, we do pray for thy sweet and sacred presence to be known and to be sweetly felt, both in our hearts, dear Lord, and too within these walls. Pray that the world may be shut out, Satan kept from the doors of the sanctuary and from our hearts. And oh, that we may be shut in with thee. Oh, we seek for grace, dear Lord, to bow before thee. We would come pleading the precious name of the dear Lord Jesus. That name that is just suited to every sinner's case. And oh, we pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt speak to our souls, that we may hear thy still small voice. And oh, may thy word be applied with divine power, that it may be the word of the King of Kings to our souls. No, we would come humbly confessing our many, many sins. For thou hast said, if ye confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we do pray, Lord, that thou would grant to us a heart to truly weep and mourn and grieve over our many sins, a heart to truly repent of. Oh, that thou wouldst have mercy upon us, Lord. That thou wouldst blot out our many sins and transgressions. And that thou wouldst wash us in that precious blood of the dear Lord Jesus. Oh, may we each be sheltering under that precious blood. That blood that doth for sin atone. Oh, do seal pardon to each sin sick soul. And oh, it's those, Lord, that long to know their pardon signed and their peace procured. That long to know that thou didst suffer, bleed and die for. Oh, do come and assure. As the dear hymn writer said, assure my conscience of her part in the Redeemer's blood. Bear thy witness to my heart that I am born of God. O Lord, do help us to give diligence to make our calling and our election sure. Oh, we pray to have that real religion that thou dost give to thy dear people. May we never be left to just be satisfied with a name to live and yet be dead. Or satisfied with just coming and going into thy house as a door on its hinges. But oh, may there be that right concern, that right exercise in our souls to serve thee and to seek thee and to do and know thy will. And oh, we pray for all needy grace, Lord, to discern thy mind and will in all things. And may we be given grace to be resigned to thy will. Oh, do keep us, Lord, from sinning and keep us from grieving thee. And keep us, Lord, at thy dear feet, that we may be truly humble and tender and have the mind and the spirit of Christ. And as the hymn writer said, may I as my master be rooted in humility. Oh, do come and take away all rebelliousness and hardness, Lord. May we be truly tender at thy dear feet, ever seeking to know and do thy will. And oh, do grant us grace to endure to the end, to hold on our way. Oh, we pray for thee to undertake for us continually. Lord, we need thee to undertake in so many ways. And knowest the burdens that we carry, the burdens thy people carry. Oh, that thou wouldst whisper those precious words, I will all thy burdens bear. I will all thy needs supply. We thank thee, thou art the burden bearer of thy people. And oh, thou knowest the great weight of some of the burdens that those of thy children carry. But oh, do help us, Lord, to cast them all upon thee, to leave them at thy dear feet. For thou hast promised to manage all by the way and to the end. Oh, we pray for those heavenly confirmations, oh, that thou wouldst confirm to us that we are thine, that thou art ours, and oh, that thou wouldst confirm thy word and thy precious promises to our souls. Thou wilt confirm our exercises, Lord. Oh, may we never be left to just a bodily exercise, but oh, may we ever be exercised unto a godliness which is profitable unto all things. We commit to thee thy dear people. Lord, thou knowest each saint's peculiar case. Thou knowest those that are in a low place, and oh, we pray thou would lift them up, Lord. Raise their souls above the ground. And oh, may it please thee to supply the need of each one. Thou knowest the great needs of our souls, Lord, the needs of our bodies, the needs in our pathways and in our families, the needs of Zion. Oh, we pray that thou wilt so supply that need and fulfill thy sweet promise. Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Lord, do help us to bring all our need before thee, and may we see thy appeal. Do remember those, Lord, that are tried and tempted and buffeted by Satan. And knowest how real, Lord, the temptations are and the onslaughts of the adversary. And oh, we pray thou wilt come and cast him out and set thy dear people at liberty. Oh, that many may be set free, Lord, from all the bondage of sin and Satan and of unbelief, the bondage of this world, the bondage of our deceitful hearts. But oh, may we know that sweet liberty of the Spirit. For thou hast said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We do pray, dear Lord, for those that may have impossibilities. Oh, that thou wouldst come, Lord, and grant that faith to believe that those things that are impossible with us are possible with thee. May thy dear people that walk in these things sweetly prove what dear Sarah experienced at thy mouth is anything too hard for the Lord. Oh, thou knowest the hard cases, Lord, the impossible things. We pray that thou wilt work and undertake for thy dear children. Remember the young and rising race, the dear young ones, the dear children, the little ones, Lord, the dear young people. We pray that thou would hear the prayers of dear parents for their offspring. Thou would raise up from among them those that shall fear thy holy name. And we pray that there may be those pillars raised up, Lord, in Zion. And that there may be those that are real burden bearers among the young. Lord, thou canst prepare them for these things. We beg of thee to work thy grace and fear in each one, if thou hast not already. And may they prove thy precious word, that he that hath begun a good work in thee will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless the Sabbath school and those sacred truths taught there. And may there be, Lord, the application of thy word in the young hearts of the young ones, that which is set forth may be as bread cast upon the waters, and seen after many days. Dear Lord, we pray for those in affliction, for those with us that have their afflictions. Many others, Lord, those in hospital and in their homes laid aside, Thou knowest where each one is, and we pray that Thou wilt grant that needed healing and restoring, if it's Thy will. And do own and bless the means, Lord. And we pray that there may be a blessing in these afflictions, that Thou wilt so sanctify it to Thy people, and that there may be good brought forth from it all. Those enabled to say, My Jesus hath done all things well. We pray for healing to our dear daughter in all her afflictions, our dear great-grandson too in the afflictions upon him in his little early life, Lord. And we pray that Thou wilt hear prayer, and if it's Thy will, do spare him to his dear parents, and may there be a blessing in it yet, and Thy name glorified. We do pray for those that are bereaved and sorrowful, that Thou would comfort them and make up the breach, Lord. Remember the church here, and we pray that Thou would increase them, if it's Thy holy will, with the godly souls, those that shall be a gracious asset to this cause, and Lord, real followers of Thee. We pray, dear Lord, Thou wilt bless each one of the congregation, and may the day come where their souls may be filled, that they may tell the King's household what a dear Saviour they have found. Lord, the power's Thine, do remove all that hinders. Do help the deacons, Lord, and abundantly bless them, and bless the hymns they give out. May those hymns prove to be Thy choice and not just theirs. And may we know as we sing them, Lord, the realities in them, the sweet experiences in them. And oh, may Thy name be glorified. Do remember Thy dear servants, and do anoint them with that heavenly oil. And oh, that Thou would touch their lips and ours, Lord, with that live coal from off Thy heavenly altar. And oh, may there be great things done yet in Zion. Lord, Thou knowest Zion's in a low ebb, for many things that burden us and trouble us, Lord. And we pray for Thy appearing. Oh, do make bare Thine arm and work. Lord, what can we say concerning the nation? Thou knowest. Lord, so often we have to say, Oh Lord, Thou knowest. Do appear, we pray, and bring our leaders to fear Thee and seek Thee, to turn from themselves and turn from pleasing men, to serve Thee and do Thy will. May we once again be a nation that fears Thy holy name. And oh, do preserve to us our Protestant heritage and constitution, Thy holy word and holy day. Remember all those in the royal household, and may they yet be brought to fear Thee. We thank Thee for helping our Queen in these many years. We pray that she may, and whence Philip too know those eternal blessings that are in Christ Jesus. Do forgive, Lord, all that we utter amiss, but help us to praise thee for all that thou hast done for us and all thy goodness to us each and to this nation. And we would praise and bless thy holy name. Do now anoint us to speak a few things in thy holy name this night. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. We ask it for Jesus Christ's sake.
Amen. Hymn 1033. In Jesus combine all the riches of grace. What glory and grandeur I see in his face. Jehovah's eternal and co-equal Son took all our transgressions and made them his own. Hymn 1033.
seeking the Lord's divine help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 8 and the second verse. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 8 and the second verse. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. You will remember we tried to look a little this morning at a few of the things that they had to remember. And what a mercy if we are favoured to have those things in our day, as the children of Israel did, to remember of all the way the Lord had led them. There were two things that seemed to have rested upon me concerning this remembering since we left it this morning. And I just want to begin with them. Firstly, to be brought to remember all that the dear Saviour endured in his sufferings, in his death. And the hymn says, doesn't it? Remember him in all we say and in all we do. And how sweet it is when the Lord leads us in some sweet measure into the sufferings of the precious Son of God and what he endured. And how vital it is to know that those sufferings were for us. And the second thing was this. You know, we need to pray most earnestly, like the dying thief did, and that others in the Word of God did. Lord, remember me. You know, it's a vital prayer, that is, which the Lord will teach each one of his dear children. He taught the dying thief it in the last moments, didn't he, of his life. Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me. And is that your prayer this evening? Well, many times we read concerning the children of Israel as they journeyed through the wilderness, they had to pray it. We think of those beautiful words in the 136th Psalm, who remembered us in our lowest state, for his mercy endureth forever. And as the dear psalmist prayed, didn't he? Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. You may see the Lord remember others. And you have to come to this, don't you? Lord, but do remember me. Don't pass me by. Remember me and grant me a token for good, a visit from thyself. Particularly in times of trial and times of deep affliction. And we do need, don't we, the Lord to remember us in them. I think if I remember rightly, There's about 18 different characters throughout the Word of God that prayed that, remember me. And how vital it is today. Well, I leave those two things for your prayerful meditation. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Now, we did hint at it this morning a little, how wonderfully he led them. And that is a very vital thing, because we are told by the Apostle Paul in writing to the Romans that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It's a wonderful proof of sonship, being led by the Lord. And we need leading by him, and the children of Israel did through that wilderness. We need leading in the steps of providence, don't we? You dear young people, may you see, as you seek to commit your way to the Lord, him lead you in those occupations or steps which he would have you in. And it's sweet to see the Lord leading in it. Very humbling. And those that are seeking a husband or wife, to be led to that one the Lord would have you have. You think of Isaac and Rebecca, how wonderfully the Lord led them together, brought them together by himself. And they knew so much of the Lord's leading. And think of Abraham's servant as he went on that mission to seek a wife for Isaac. That was the custom in those days. And how he sought to be led into it. And how the Lord wonderfully appeared, didn't he? And answered his prayer. And Rebekah came forth and spoke even the very words that he'd prayed she would speak. Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. But then, oh, to be led into God's truth. You know, it's easy for us to read the print of God's word with our natural eye. But oh, to be led into it by the blessed Holy Spirit of God. So we sweetly experience what we read. And we can truly say, as the dear old lady years ago wrote T&P on it, tried and proved against the sweet words of the Lord which he spoke. She didn't just know them in her head, she knew them by being led into them. And you know, often the Lord will bring us into afflictions, trials, losses. And I think back in one's early days, in one's teenage days, and you know, there were some wonderful days to me spiritually. Because so many things he led me into, through deep afflictions, through deep trials, and it was all to lead me to the dear Redeemer, to fall at his dear feet. To look on him whom we have pierced. And you know, those blessed hours of divine leading we'll never forget. Because the Lord Jesus was made so precious to my soul in them. And then you can love him and adore him, poor soul, from your inmost heart. And led into those sufferings he endured on Calvary and in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, often think of the Lord's people, because they often walk paths of affliction. And when I say affliction, I don't mean just affliction of body. That is so with many. But afflictions in circumstance. You see, the word affliction in the Word of God meant anything that caused pain and anguish. You think of the severe trials and temptations the old divines walked through. And it was all a path of great affliction. But what about it? May we not be left in it alone. But may we be led to look on him in all his afflictions. I love that word in the prophecy of Isaiah. In all their afflictions, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he carried them all the days of old. He knows what you walk in tonight, poor soul. But oh, may you remember what it cost the dear Redeemer in his agonies, in his death, to redeem your soul and mine if we're among those the Father had given us. So there is this leading. And then, oh, to be led in his sacred ordinances, in his sweet commandments. You know, this morning I lay awake many hours during the night, but this morning thinking of coming here and this text upon one's heart, thinking of the commandments which the Lord gives his dear people, there was a sweet verse really, or particularly two lines in it, that seemed so sweet to me. Before I arose. You see, he says here, before I name it, and the text closes with the keeping the commandments. But you see, he begins the chapter, all the commandments which I command thee this day, shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thinking of being led in his commandments, as I lay there, you know, this lines of the hymn dropped in so sweetly. And I'll read the whole verse. And may the Lord favour us with a little glimpse by faith of what's couched in it. Blessed are the eyes that see him. Bless the ears that hear his voice. Blessed are the souls that trust in him and in him alone rejoice. And these were the words that seemed to so rest upon me. His commandments then become their happy choice. And you know, when the dear Lord Jesus is made very precious to us, then he will make his commandments our happy choice. I had a dear lady say to me many years ago now, how will I know when I should venture to follow him? And you know, I paused to how to answer her, because that is in the Lord's hand. But I did say to her this, you know, if the Lord fills you with his love and leads you to have a sweet glimpse of himself suffering, bleeding, dying for you, and your soul is full, you won't be able to do anything else only come. Sadly, the dear lady, and I esteem her very highly, she's never yet ventured. And I long to see the hour come where she does come. Because she's got some things to tell. but the Lord alone must constrain. Thou shalt remember. What a promise. You see, not only is this word so real to the child of God, the necessity of remembering, thou shalt remember. There was no doubt about it. These dear children of Israel, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. And then, and I just want to briefly look at it this evening, he gives the reasons why he led them in that wilderness. And there are three, really, couched here in this text. The first, to humble thee. To humble thee. What an unspeakable mercy when the Lord humbles the poor sinner's heart. You know, we cannot humble ourselves. I know there were those who would say immediately, well, the Apostle Peter said, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exhort you in due time. But think of it, poor soul. What Peter said was absolutely true. He knew they couldn't, those he wrote to or scattered abroad, couldn't humble themselves in and of themselves, but under the mighty hand of God. And you see, with Peter, the Lord knew how to humble him. Oh, he did. And to bring down his proud heart. And the Lord knows how to humble you, poor soul, and he did with the children of Israel. The things they had to go through in the trials, the afflictions, the distresses, the opposition from Satan and from the enemies, the Lord used it. He was the instrument, if I may put it like that, in his hand to humble them, to bring them right down. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And you know, we need more and more. I pray for it hourly, you know, really. Lord, do humble me. By nature, these children of Israel, and we're just the same, they were rebellious. Or they were. They kicked against the law. They rebelled against the way they got to walk through the wilderness. They rebelled against the God of heaven. They rebelled against Moses. And there may be those tonight that are troubled by a rebellious heart. But I think of that beautiful couplet of the hymn, rebellious thou hast been, and art rebellious still, but since in love I took thee in, my promise I'll fulfil. And you know, if the Lord speak that to you, he'll take away all that hardness, all that rebelliousness. Often I think of Legion, you know, and the Word of God, and I may have mentioned it here before, but you look how hard he was. We're dwelling among the tombs. No man, we read, could tame him. And it was only the Lord Jesus that could humble him. And where did the Lord bring him? To sit at his dear feet. The feet of Jesus. And oh, what was the effect of it? He was humbled at the feet of Jesus. He sat at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, humbled in the dust. And it may be he brings you, and with the children of Israel, he brought them into places where he was to humble them. And let us look at it in two ways. Firstly, he uses sometimes we may say, more severe means, by affliction, by bitter opposition from Satan or from man, or severe trials may be in providence. It's to bring thy proud heart down, so you're humble at his feet. And when we're humble, you know, we're submissive to his mind and his will. One said in the hymn, "Let me not murmur or repine under these trying strokes of thine, but while I feel afflictions rod, be still and know that thou art God." And oh, in Ezek, you can be still when you're humbled in the dust and know no will but his. But then there's the other side. If you look in the experience of the children of Israel, through that wilderness, he brought them to some sweet places. And what I mean is this, and it was all to humble them, to have a glimpse of what the dear Redeemer was to endure when he came into this earth, the smitten rock. You know, when you have a little glimpse of Christ at Calvary, smitten, stricken and afflicted. And oh, the glimpses they had through that wilderness of the dear Redeemer in all his agonies and sufferings. The hymn writer said, didn't he, "Had I a glance of thee, my God, kingdoms and men would vanish soon, vanish as though I saw them not, like a dim candle dies at noon." And oh, being led to view him, what he endured, and it humbled their hearts, made them tender, made them submissive, made them resigned to his mind and his will. And those sweet glimpses, you know, they were never to forget. Oh no. And how many times has he visited your heart with his love, and he's just melted you. And all the self-righteousness, the pride, the evils of our heart all removed, and we're tender and have the mind and the spirit of Christ. What does the hymn writer say? "May I, as my master, be rooted in humility." If you want a sweet pattern of humility, where are you looking? You'll be found in the dear Lord Jesus himself. As he walked through this earth from Bethlehem to Calvary, he was a pattern of humility. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. And oh, poor soul, may we know, like the children of Israel did here, to humble thee. And we read in the following verse the effect of it. "And he humbled thee." And he humbled thee. Could it be said concerning you and me, "And he humbled thee"? Because this is what's recorded concerning these dear children of Israel. He humbled thee. And when he humbles us, poor soul, you'll be able to praise his holy name, that he's humbled your proud heart and brought you right down to fall into his arms and be submissive at his dear feet. So that is the first thing that he sweetly, the Holy Spirit, sets forth through Moses here to the children of Israel. that thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the west to humble thee and to prove thee. You know, if we got a real religion, it's got to be proved. We are told by the Apostle Paul in writing to the Thessalonican church, prove all things. And you know, like in the appointment of a deacon or any officer in a church, it says, let them first be proved. And that's a vital thing. Let them first be proved. And the same with the ministry, really. And here, the children of Israel, they got to be proved. Solemnly, and let's deal with the solemn side first, there were those that perished in the wilderness. Exceedingly solemn that was. And if you got a real religion, as I said just now, and I, well, that's got to be proved. It's like gold, you know. When it is hewn out of the earth, it has to go into the furnace. I remember a goldsmith saying to me once, you know, that it's amazing the dross that comes out. It has to go into that furnace to be proved. All the dross will have to come out. All he wants, a real goldsmith, will be pure gold. The dross must go. Now, the children of Israel, we are just the same. We got a lot of dross, haven't we? Not many today, they've got a frothy religion. They think that it's all right, but you see, how does it stand before a holy God? This is the vital point. And the Lord will prove his people, just as he did the children of Israel. He'll prove them right down to the end. When time shall cease, then there will be no need for any to be proved, because time will be no more. You look at case of dear Job, how the Lord proved him. He was a man that feared God and eschewed evil. He wasn't just a naturally religious man and got a lot of frothy religion, was he? Oh no. If ever a man feared God, Job did. But oh, look how he had to go in the fire. And I love those words, and many of you may have had them spoken to you by the Lord, what Job said. In the midst of all that proving, in the fire. And what did he say? But he knoweth, the Lord knoweth, the way that I take. And then he said this, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And what a mercy it was, wasn't it? When he came toward his end and the Lord wonderfully appeared and gave him double than he had before, he endured the fire. The fire proved him. His religion stood the test. It came out as gold. And you know, if you and I are going to be right when we come to the end, we shall need that vital gold, and it's what God has done in us. And what he has applied to us from his word in our souls. It's his word. That's all that will stand, you know. I've stood now and committed over near enough 100 precious souls, many of them to the grave. And You know, I've often said, all that is flesh will be laid in Mother Earth with them, but that which is real will stand. And you think of Job, but he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me. You know, I've often thought of that, and I may have mentioned it here. He didn't say, Lord, bring me out of the fire now. That's what our flesh would say. Lord, we cannot stand this. But when he hath tried me, he was willing, and the Lord had made him willing to stay in that furnace, the proving, until he came forth as gold. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. And the Lord brought him out as gold, didn't he? And then you can look at the case, just briefly, of the Hebrew children, Meshach, Shadrach and Abednego. They had to go into that fiery furnace, but you look how they proved in it. They weren't destroyed by the fire, were they? Didn't matter how hot the instructions were from the king and those that cast them in, he couldn't touch them. Why? Well, we read the king said, were there not three cast into the fiery furnace? Behold, there's four. One like unto the Son of Man. The Lord was with them in it. Oh, he was. And when he brought them out, they came out without even the smell of smoke upon them. They came forth as gold. They stood the proving. And oh, may the Lord grant us that grace to stand the proving like he did for many of the dear children of Israel. Now here he says they must go through this wilderness for 40 years to humble thee and then to prove thee. And this is a very vital thing, you know. This is what will make a soul steadfast in the truth, unmovable. You look back to our godly forefathers. They had hardly anything of earth's goods. They were dependent upon the Lord for their daily food, dependent upon him for their raiment. And you look how steadfast they were in the things of God and unmovable. Why? Because they've been through the fires. I remember in my early days in the ministry, and I know I was only young myself, but there was a young minister went to a cause in Essex, and one of the old deacons there, I asked him how he got on with this young man. And he was a few minutes before he answered. And then he said this. He said, you know, this man will be all right when he's been through the fire a few times and in Job's ditch a few times. You see, the proving. And you think of us each, really, you know, if you and I, as I said at the onset, have got a real religion, it's got to be proved. There's some solemn cases in the Word of God that never stood the proving. Think of the solemn case of Judas. Think of Lot's wife. Think of Orpah. They didn't come forth as gold, did they? They didn't stand the proving. They perished. Dear Lot lingered in the city, but his religion was far more valuable than what his wife's was. She was turned to a pillar of salt because she turned back, looked back. There's no going back to the real child of God. He that putteth his hand to the plough and looketh back, he's not fit for the kingdom of God. Now, they're not my words. They're what the Lord said. to prove thee. And it may be tonight, poor soul, and you young ones going through things, and it's a proving time, you see. Oh, it is. I remember I had, I may have told you before, but I had an accident with my car, and thankfully it was not my fault and that, but, you know, it was a very trying time. The man that hit me, his car hit mine, he tried to sue me for this and that, and the Lord wonderfully cleared me of it all. But, you know, I remember going home and I was very distressed about it all. My dear mother, she hardly ever said anything spiritual to me. But she quoted this, and I've never forgot it. And it's in that beautiful hymn, "And he blasted my gourds and laid me low." And she said, "That's where you are." And I was. But the Lord, you know, was so appealing. He humbled me in it all. He brought me right down to his dear feet. And in it was such a blessing. Oh, it was. And I came out of it, and I say to the glory of God tonight, as gold, the Lord wonderfully brought me out. And, you know, these things you won't forget. They could remember them, couldn't they? Because they were so real to them, and the Lord had made them so precious in their souls. You see, what God does in the sinner's heart will stand when everything else fails. And I must hasten. The third thing was this, and to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. You know, it's a vital thing to have a real heart religion. Now, he was to know what was in their hearts. And the Lord looks at your heart and mine this evening. We may put on this profession or that, or look good in outward appearance, but what's in our heart? The heart knoweth his own bitterness. But the Lord sees what he has done in your poor heart and mine, and he did with the children of Israel. But he brought them into this humbling and approving to know what was in their heart. Oh, yes. Whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Solemnly we read that on occasions they disobeyed the commandments of God. And where did he bring them? He brought them into bondage. He brought them into distress of soul. He brought them into barrenness. He brought them into darkness. But oh, what a mercy when they were favoured in their hearts to obey what the Lord commanded. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do. Now the Lord knows in each of our hearts what he's commanded us. There are many commandments in God's word. We know that, of course, the Ten Commandments the Lord gave to Moses and to the children of Israel, and they were to keep them, and so must we. But there are other sweet commandments, you know. Jesus, let me give you just one or two illustrations and I must leave it. But firstly, what did Jesus say? And may we lay it to heart. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. A clear commandment. Always to pray, but sadly we don't, do we? We think we manage this ourselves or that ourselves. Pray if thou canst or canst not speak. Uh, And oh, may the Lord enable us to keep that commandment. Now, I don't know why I say it, but you see, and a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Love is the golden chain that binds the happy souls above, and he's an heir of heaven that finds his bosom glow with love. All the commandments. Now the Lord may have commanded you to follow him, as he did the dear disciples, follow me. You know, often the Lord didn't speak much to them, did he? And you know, often really, we find even in this dark day, he may just say a few words to you, but the power and unction and sacredness of them, you'll never forget, you remember them, because they were life and power to you. And he said to those dear disciples, didn't he? Follow me. And oh, may the Lord enable us to keep those commandments and obey his voice. We read in the epistle of Paul, don't we? And he wrote to the churches concerning this, that ye obey the commandments of the Lord. Be ye as obedient children. I remember preaching from that at Asheville on one occasion. There were two, husband and wife, that were so exercised concerning venturing in the Lord's ways, and they came up that Lord's Day morning, you know, so desiring to know the thing was of God. And that's what I preach from. And the Lord so use it. Be ye as obedient children. It's nothing more precious and sweet to a loving parents, is that to see their children obedient. Now you think of it spiritually. Be ye as obedient children. And think of what's in this chapter. All the commandments which I command thee this day, thou shalt observe to do. Well, I leave it for your prayerful meditation. The time's gone. But may we keep the land in view, as I said this morning. Canaan's happy shore. There is a land of pure delight, you see, set before the children of Israel, Canaan. There's a far greater land, heaven, set before his dear children. Well, I've scratched the surface. May the Holy Spirit apply the text. If nothing, I've rambled round today. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day for Christian's Concern amounted to £880, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Hadley will preach on Tuesday evening, and a collection will be taken for the Trinitarian Bible Society, and Mr. Timothy Rosier will preach next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 936. Through all the changing scenes of life, in trouble and in joy, the praises of my God shall still my heart and tongue employ. Hymn 936.
forgive now anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Lord, who come over the poverty of our poor feeble attempts, bless thy word to each of our souls. Take us each now into thy kind care and keeping. And may the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the sweet communion and fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit, the divine Comforter, rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.